listening to the FNA podcast.
We have special guest, Perseus, the cat.
The fuck is he? There he is.
So, a few announcements, I guess. I don't know. Maybe. We're gonna turn me and Kevin and some other friends, what is it? Song of Fire and Ice. I keep wanting to call it D&D.
It's Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah, Song of Ice and Fire role-playing game, like D&D. We're going to turn that into a podcast, but I don't have all my recordings for it, so I'm relying on Doc to send me the rest of them.
After he's doctored them, of course.
Well, I was going to doctor him if you didn't want to doctor him, but yeah. But, so be looking for another podcast soon. Coming your way from FNA Productions. Mm-hmm. Southeast Productions. I don't know, I'm just going to... We're going to name shit. But that's still a while off. A lot of editing has to go into that, so. Mm-hmm. We've made some Guild Wars videos. Okay, no, we have it recorded, and it still needs to be all put together. But it's going to be fun. What else is there? Kevin, don't you have something that you're going to be putting up soon?
Yes. I've been playing a lot of indie games on Steam recently, and I've decided to like sort of switch to a more review format for games. So I'm working on my first review video right now, actually, and hopefully I'll be more what's the word I'm looking for? I have more of those basically instead of my Let's Plays that I've had before. Which I haven't really stuck to in terms of, like, timing and scheduling. But, hey, this semester got pretty hectic for me. So
yeah. I feel good better. Well, it happens when you're in school.
Yeah. Yeah. Education and all that.
Yeah. But definitely, everyone, give us likes and views and comments and dislikes and hatred. Just do it all. Just do it all at once.
Mm.
Love and hate in the same message. Give us that backhanded compliment. We love that.
I mean, just like us and then dislike us immediately afterwards. That's fine. You know, I mean...
That just cancels each other out.
Yeah, that just cancels each other out. That's okay. It's fine.
I don't know which way I want to go. I like
it. Or just like us and then just walk away. That's okay, too, you know? Yeah. And if you do dislike us, well, I mean, just go ahead and put a like on there, too, and then we're good.
Yes, and most importantly, tell all of your friends about us. Every one of them.
All of your friends.
So I hate these guys and love them at the same time. I don't know what to do. Help me. And they'll help you. Believe me, they will. And then make them tell their friends.
They'll help you help themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Back to gaming news. Or to gaming news, we were never there. Let's talk about the Xbox. There's so much controversy.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing, a couple things that are pissing me off a little bit, that the Xbox is gonna block, it has some DRM, I guess you would call it, for used games. That's pretty much the it's saying that you can't play used games. The what the process is, you get these Blu-rays, all right? So you probably pay fucking like more than $60 for this hard copy. And you'd put it in your Xbox, and it'd install it. You could play it while it was installing, but then the disc is useless after that. Mm-hmm. Completely useless. You can't sell it to anybody because it's already installed to your console. It reads this, I imagine, a code of some sort. You know what I mean? Like the computer games do.
Yeah.
so it completely would destroy the used game market. For at least Xbox games.
That's pretty big news. This whole like install and throw the CD away. I mean, if it does happen, you know, that's a pretty big deal.
And the problem is like, well, first off, why am I buying that game? Why am I wasting my money? You know what I mean? I don't obviously need a Blu-ray disc if it's not usable. If I can't hand it off to my friends,
right.
What's the reason to have a hard copy? So they're trying to just go to digital downloads, anyways, but.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's kind of frustrating to me.
Yeah, and I mean, with that kind of system, what do you do if you want to, like, take it over to your friend's house or something?
Yeah, you gotta have to unhook the whole thing and be like, man, I've got Diablo 800 on my Xbox, but you ain't got it on yours, so I guess I gotta bring my Xbox over.
Right, exactly. You might as well at that point just have a PC. I don't understand, you know?
It's kind of dumb. What else was there? The always connected stuff. That I'm iffy on. What?
Sorry, Perseus is being trying to come to the podcast again.
Oh, our special guest.
Our special guest.
It's not his time. Sorry. His interview yet.
I know it's not. Go on.
but they're saying it's always on, first off. So I'm thinking it's better have a good cooling system. I mean, I know it's not going to be a full blast, always on, but still, like, technology running 24/7, usually, I mean, my phone turns off, my computer turns off,
mm-hmm.
They can be always on, but you do want to turn them off, it is good for them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So, not being able to turn off your Xbox except for unplugging the cord is, like, questionable. I don't want to run into my power bill.
True.
And then the always connected, now that's understandable because I'm always connected, but if, say, my, like, internet provider goes out, which happens, Comcast happens to go out every now and again, and I want to play something, what am I supposed to do in that time frame?
Another one is, if it's going to be always connected, what if Xbox happens to go down for some point in time, then we're fucked.
It did.
Like, I mean, we can't play Xbox until they're back up.
Just 2 days ago, and we were having problems last night with it actually when we were trying to the parties. But there was a reason before that they had this whole Xbox people. They couldn't even sign in. People couldn't even sign in.
Yeah, I had that problem once, and I turned it off because I couldn't sign in. But yeah, you're talking about.
Yeah, and it was on Microsoft's end too. Yeah. So it was like, you can't even do anything about that. Microsoft has to fix that. If that happened and you had to be always connected and say, like, that problem took a long time to solve, that'd piss a lot of people off. There's a lot of issues. But, I mean, none of this really, like, we don't have any hard facts until the 21st of May. They decided to go, they moved back their date from April to May because they said PlayStation wasn't pushing them competitively. I think that's bullshit. I think PlayStation is kicking their ass, so that's why they're like, shit, stuff's getting leaked about our console and people aren't liking it. We've got to change some stuff.
yeah, I gotcha.
It happens. Because everyone's hearing, oh, well, the PlayStation can play used games. Oh, the PlayStation doesn't have to always be connected. We like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to remember, consoles are going to be more than just, like, the hardcore gamers. Like, a lot of casual gamers end up getting consoles. And a lot of the casual gamers don't want to have to deal with that stuff.
So, yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, right now, you know, it looks pretty good for the PlayStation market, in my opinion. Yeah.
We'll have to wait. I'm sure Microsoft's got something up their sleeve. They don't go into console war without... I mean, what'd they spend? I heard they spent like $6 billion to get into the console war. Have they even made that money back yet?
Mm-hmm.
Is that story being written still? You know, like, what happens if they don't make that money back?
Right.
So. Yeah, they had to take it. I imagine these first two consoles were at a loss. Just to, you know what I mean, get into this market and play big. I don't know. Maybe the Xbox 360 brought them over. I don't know. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing. They have two models announced, though, that they talked about. A $500 one, which would be, like, the more expensive console. And then a $300 one with a subscription. So, what the hell? Why would you pay? I don't want a subscription for my console. We need more info on that, but I don't understand what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The subscription, I think, is for, like, Netflix, I mean, all that stuff. Maybe the 500 is going to be, like, you automatically have a Microsoft Gold. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe, exactly.
That, and, yeah. Like, with the $300 one, you have to get the Microsoft Gold account, you have to pay that subscription still. Maybe that's kind of what they mean. Or maybe like cloud storage stuff. Maybe you're paying for cloud storage on the $300 one. Who knows? Yeah. LucasArts closed. Sad story. Not that sad, but it is sad. Like, it's sad for the 90s LucasArts that made all those games, but their recent games have been jack shit.
Yeah, so,
And now... I bet you, I mean, I know 1313 was canceled and First Assault was canceled with that, but I bet you Battlefront 3, Disney's going to make that. I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Disney will pump that shit out, sucker off to, I don't know, who knows, someone that's good at making gun games. Even though they better not change the Battlefront formula, is all I'm saying, is I want that formula to still be the same. Improved upon, but basically the same. You guys are just quiet tonight.
Yeah, sorry. I like to wake up from a nap, so...
Kevin's like, my mind is barely working.
I don't know, at the same point in time, though, knowing how Disney does sometimes, I'm kind of scared.
What do you mean?
Just because, like, well, I mean, like, just how, like, I mean, yeah, they could, this could work out really well, and they could do a really good job, but Disney has also had problems in the past with being really shitty with stuff that they take over and do.
Well,
so, I mean, it could work, but at the same point in time, I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, Pixar hasn't made as much as good stuff since they've been taken over by Disney, and the book is still being written on Marvel. I think Marvel's doing great, though, with Avengers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I'm happy with what they've done with the Marvel. They haven't kiddied it down. You know what I mean? So I don't think they're going to destroy the Star Wars franchise or the gaming. If anything, like, I mean, Disney helped make Kingdom Hearts. You know what I mean? They licensed that stuff out. And Kingdom Hearts is great. I love that series. I mean, there are some bad games in that series, I guess. But what series doesn't have some, you know, with that many games, have some... weak spots.
Yeah.
I think the remakes are coming onto PlayStation soon. Kingdom Hearts series. I think I read that somewhere. That would be pretty cool. Jake, are you playing a video game?
Nope.
Yes, you are.
No.
Are you lying to me?
No.
I'll eat your damn brains.
Oh, God, eat the brain. To be honest, though, I'm pretty hopeful for Disney. I mean, recently everything that they've touched has sort of worked out. I actually really want to see where they're going to go with, like, Star Wars and stuff in the future. And Marvel, I mean, as long as Disney doesn't, like, put its, like, hands in too deep into most of, like, these franchises that they've been, like, consuming recently, most of them turn out pretty well.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll do better.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. There's a lot of... speaking on the whole remakes of stuff. Jack and Dexter Collection coming back from the PlayStation and PlayStation Vita. PS3 and PS Vita. That's cool. I can't wait to get that for my Vita. Walking Dead's coming to the Vita. FF10 HD and 10.2 HD is coming. And those are a bundle pack for the PS3, but you got to buy them separately for the Vita. Awesome. I don't know. I'll get all of these games that I'm spitting out, I'm going to get. I want to get. PlayStation's really going in hardcore. A lot of indie games are coming to the Vita. Like, they're really trying to push what they can get on the Vita to sell it, I can tell. And I like that. That's really cool. Mainly because I have a Vita, but I think it'll also, people will want to buy it now. Because the problem, everyone was saying, oh, the Vita's a piece of cool technology, but it doesn't have much shit for it right now.
No games on Vita, yeah, you know.
So now if it gets some games, should be
good. I mean, that's the whole shtick with being like a just-released console. And the PSP has always been like that. The PS Vita has sort of like followed in its, you know, footsteps of its forefathers, you could say.
Yeah.
In that regard. But I do think that some new games are coming out for it. That'll be pretty cool. Has Soul Sacrifice come out yet? Did you get that yet?
No, it's not out yet. End of this month.
Okay. You should tell me how that goes. But there's a lot of new stuff coming out. I know that you also mentioned that, like, Final Fantasy X is getting a remake.
Yeah.
And that's going to have, like, a dual release with Final Fantasy X, too.
On the PS Vita.
PS3. Pretty cool.
On the Vita, you have to buy them separately.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, I think that's cool. Even if it is a remake, you know, Final Fantasy X was, like, my favorite Final Fantasy ever. I love that game so much. I spent, like, so many hours on it. And, you know, it's not enough to make you want to buy a PS Vita, but if I did buy one, that would definitely be a game that I would pick up for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love that. It was probably the only Final Fantasy I was able to beat because I was finally old enough to understand and beat a Final Fantasy by Final Fantasy X.
Yep.
So, and like 11 wasn't that great. I didn't really play 10-2, though, and I didn't play. I had 11 and 12. Or wait, which one was the MMO? 12 or 11?
The MMO was 11, yes.
So I didn't play 11. I had 12, and I didn't really get too far in that. I didn't like the combat system. I felt like, I don't know, you could...
In 12, which was more active?
Yeah. I like the turn-based combat system of the original Final Fantasies. I just do. I think it's cool.
I do, too. It's very strategic, so...
Yeah.
I know, I never really got into Final Fantasy series. I mean, I played, 13 very, very little. I just didn't... I don't know, I didn't really get into it.
I didn't... I had a lot of them. I played a lot of them, but I never really beat all of them. Let's see. Speaking of Final Fantasy, Square Enix lost money, I guess, this year, and fired the president. There's a lot of the EA. I think their president got fired, right? Something like that. A lot of CEOs are stepping down for some reason in the gaming world. I don't know. I think a lot of people are blaming like this year, the start of the year, on bad console sales. Or bad game sales on their consoles, like on the CEOs and stuff like that. But really, like, this is going to be a down year because a lot of people aren't going to buy a whole... Like, I know myself, I'm restricting myself to how many games I buy because I'm probably not going to touch... If it's not a really good game, I probably won't come back to it after I have my next-gen console, you know? So it has to be like a BioShock Infinite. It has to be a game I think I'm going to fall in love with to be able to come back and play with it, for me to own it for just this, you know, short amount of time before my next-gen console. That's my thinking of it all. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people, I imagine I'm not the only one that's thinking like that. Though some people are like, I probably won't even get the next-gen console for like another year or two, even after it comes out. A lot of people like to wait that long, which is okay, but... I think there's a good amount of thinking of, oh, well, we know that consoles are getting released in Christmas time, so let's just save our money for those. I hope. I don't know. Let's see, what else we got? Hearthstone by Blizzard. That was announced. That card game?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Looks interesting. I don't know too much about it because I didn't get to watch the thing on it.
What is it?
Hearthstone? It's a card game Blizzard's making for it takes place, in the World of Warcraft world. Like, but not in World of War. It's a separate game, and it's free to play.
Hearthstone.
Come on, grab your friends. Oh, hey, they've already got it up on Battle.net. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the bait. What is Hearthstone? Here we go. Oh, I don't want to watch a video.
I wonder if this is at all related to the trading card game.
Actually. No, they said it was separate. I do know. Okay. That. I think.
Oh, so it's like. Okay. It's,
no, it actually kind of looks like it has the same system as trading card game.
Yeah. But I don't know.
But it takes place like you'd be your World of Warcraft character playing these cards. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it is. So I think it's kind of like I imagine it plays the system, but. It looks kind of fun. I don't know. It's free. It's gonna be free to play.
So I mean, it might be interesting to look into. You know.
Yeah. They were like, oh, if Hearthstone does good, we'll make more free to play games. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Fun. There's lots of stuff to check out. I bet it's the same system that their trading card game makes because that makes the most sense. Why would they make up a new system for that?
Yeah, right. I mean, they probably tweaked it a little bit.
Most
likely it's pretty close.
Yeah. Speaking of Blizzard stuff, Diablo 3 for the PS3 won't have real money for items in the auction house.
Yeah, I actually heard about that a little while ago. I remember reading an article somewhere that, like, Diablo 3 developers said that making the auction house with real money was one of, like, the biggest mistakes they made, or something like that. Like, they found out the game, like, revolved around this economy that they created, like, a little bit too much. Which is surprising, because that was probably, like, one of the biggest draws of Diablo 3. You know?
Really? The auction... I didn't like the auction house. I don't want to have people to pay for items.
Right. Well, the thing is, you don't necessarily, like... There's two different auction houses, of course. There's the gold auction house, right? And then the money auction house. And I think they said that just in general that, like, everything, like, revolved around the auction house too much and not enough on, like, actual drops, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, people were basically just playing the game to get gold to buy items instead of playing the game to get items that dropped. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
but you have to think of that anytime there's an auction house system in rare drops. You know what I mean? People are going to go for those items that are put up and not the rare drops that they're trying to find in the world because it's probably easier to find someone else that may have got it that didn't need it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just hunt the gold for it. I mean, of course, if you get that rare drop along the way, awesome, but they made it so hard. I think they did make the chances to get those drops a little easier. I think I remember reading something like that, like I can't remember, the legendary items is at the top. So,
yeah,
I think their drop is. I think
they said that basically, like, maybe in a later patch, maybe they already implemented it, actually, is that whenever you kill, like, a named boss or whatever, that there's, like, a higher chance that they'll actually drop, like, a legendary item on, like, your first go-through of them. Like, if you kill the butcher, you'll get, like, the butcher's cleaver, which normally is just a random drop, but, you know, this time if you actually do kill the butcher, you'll actually get that item. So it'd be sort of like a raid boss with, like, set item, you know, that would actually drop it. Like, if you kill Arthas, you get Frostborn. More likely, in this case. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious if they're going to make some expansion packs for Diablo 3.
Oh, they are, for sure. I'm sure they're going to announce their expansion for Diablo 3 BlizzCon this year.
I bet so. Ooh, let's talk about theories here. What classes do you think they're going to add?
Well, I don't know what classes they're going to add, but they're definitely going to add two new classes, most likely.
Yeah, what do you think? Come on, just throw some guesses.
I don't know.
What were some classes in the old game?
Well, they already have, like, a Necromancer and, like, a Witch Doctor, and then they have, like...
They don't have a Necromancer. They have the Witch Doctor, and then they have the...
They do, like, the same kind of thing with, like, summoning, you know, things that fight for you and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Lots of voodoo, the Monk is the Assassin. Demon Hunter, Swordless Ranger. I don't know. I think I was talking to James about what he wanted to see in Diablo 3, and what I really wanted to see was, like, someone who was actually, like, a knight... kind of character.
Ah, you know? Yeah. Like, I was upset that there was no Templar.
Right. Oh, yes, exactly. I mean, you have a Templar follower, like, you know, following you around, but you couldn't actually be one. You know, you were just... You were, like, a barbarian, which is, like, the closest thing to, like, a straight-up martial, full-plate-wearing class, but you were still a barbarian jumping around, you know?
Yeah.
I want to be, like, a Like, seriously, just a wall of metal walking around. That's what I want to be.
Well, but I want to be, like, I guess I want some holy power to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I want to be, right. I want to be the monk wearing heavy armor with a freaking, you know, basically the Templar, you know, a paladin.
Yeah.
But I can imagine they'd call it a Templar in this because they already, you know, call it that.
Exactly.
They wouldn't call it, oh, this is our paladin. No, they,
But, right. They call it something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, yeah. I think that is one of them, I bet. And then, well, they have the Demon Hunter. I bet they're going to go to a less magic-y Ranger class. Maybe. Like,
I don't know.
Maybe like a druidish type of thing, like a nature-based.
Maybe, yeah.
They don't have any kind of nature-based. Maybe not ranged weapons, but they don't really have any nature magic. I mean, they have the voodoo, and he's more on dead. It's voodoo magic. And then they have Demon Hunter, and he's...
Demon Hunter's powered by hatred and rage.
Yeah.
No, hatred and deception or something.
Yeah, discipline. Hatred and discipline.
Right.
And then the monk's powered by favor?
Spirit.
Spirit, okay. Yeah. And then the barbarian just has rage.
Rage, of course.
Yeah. So I'm thinking nature, some kind of nature. I don't know what they name it, but...
No. Yeah. That is a good point, though.
I bet they'll have a druid. Maybe not this expansion, but some expansion they'll have like a druidic type of class.
Just I don't know. What like, yeah, turn
like
into
a shaman, maybe.
Yeah, a shaman. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. The voodoo is kind of like a shaman to me in my mind. I guess I consider a shaman and a druid really different.
Yeah. Well, I see the way the witch doctor like looks to me is sort of like Baron Samhain or whatever from Frog Princess.
Mm-hmm.
So I always imagine when I think of witch doctor.
Yeah, I guess a shaman would be like elemental magic and not necessarily just nature.
Yeah, but then there's still the wizard for elemental magic.
Oh, yeah. Is the wizard in the game already, right?
Yeah.
I just never play one. I guess I'd haven't played one.
I think it's called sorcerer in this one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's the wizard. Right. But yeah, I think, you know, we'll definitely see like an announcement for it this year.
Mm-hmm. That'll be cool. That'll be interesting. I wonder what... I mean... I never ended up beating the storyline. Me and you need to make that playthrough just so I have a reason to play it again.
Yeah, we should sometime.
Like, we'll just sit down and play it through a weekend, just on a Saturday.
Yeah, I've played that, like, so much. Like, me and James, we just, like, spent, like, 2 weeks just, like, doing it from normal to Inferno or whatever. So, yeah, 1 to 60 in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we're in the north in the winter.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that act is the weakest though.
Like
it feels like they hastily made it compared to the other two.
Yeah, okay, kinda, actually. Yeah. All I know is like Act 2 Belial is like the hardest boss in the game.
Is he? He's
hard in Diablo because he has like a rage timer. And he like makes like these huge like pits on the ground or whatever, like circles on the ground that you can stand at a certain point. He just keeps doing that after a certain point of time.
Yeah.
So, he is ridiculously hard.
Yeah, me and my brother took him on. I was the witch doctor, and he was... What was he? A barbarian, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And we took him on like that.
Okay.
Of course, when I play witch doctor, when I play anything that can summon monsters, I summon monsters. Like, I don't even care if that's the weakest class. Of that version, I still do it because why the fuck would you not summon extra helpers?
Yeah, sure.
So that's what I do. I always like. I was like, oh, I'll just summon my minions, and I just ran around spitting bats at the dude. Like, take that, take my burning bats.
we should definitely do that sometime.
Yeah, it'd be cool to kind of wait for the. I'd like to see it on the. I might. I don't know if I'll get it for the PS4. Unless I had a real reason, like, you know, people to play with, but...
Yeah, right.
That'd be cool. Let's keep moving, I guess. We're burning through these topics pretty fast. The Arcos Android gamepad for $180. That was like... What was that? I can't remember. I had looked at
this. This is the first I've heard of it, so...
Arcos gamepad... I read it, but it's been so long since I read it. Right. Oh, it looks like it's gonna compete against like the Vita and the DS. It's an Android handheld thing. I don't know. I don't think it's gonna do well. Maybe it is. Review. There's a review for it. Let's see what they say. I'm getting dusted around. I don't know. I don't feel like reading it. It looks alright. It looks bulky. Looks real bulky.
But I guess I'm not gonna be able to put that in my pocket. What the hell?
I wouldn't want to put the Vita in my pocket though either. I probably could. I could put the Vita in my pocket.
Yeah.
Like it's only a little bit bigger than my phone.
Yeah.
But the joyce, the analog sticks.
Oh, it just stick out, right.
Yeah, so it's just like, and I
gotcha. It's not like the original PSP where they're just like sort of like in, you know, like just sort of like little nubs even.
Yeah, well, I just don't want to break one because that's always a bitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I break a joystick.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No, not at all.
Let's see here. Ultimate Volt. Oh yeah, the new Borderlands stuff.
I saw that actually. Krieg.
Yeah, and they have the level cap is out already. I don't think is Krieg out. I'm not sure.
No, Krieg is. I think maybe next month.
Yeah, but the level cap did go by 11. I downloaded that, so I haven't played it. But
yeah, Krieg looks cool actually.
Yeah,
you like Krieg? Yeah,
he's melee based, which is odd, but cool. And I can't remember what his trees were. Shit.
His action skill is melee based. I think he still uses guns and stuff.
Yeah, but he had his action.
He's sort of like Brick, you know.
Let's see. I want to find a picture of his trees so I can get to people.
Yeah.
Krieg Psycho. Aha, here we go. Please tell me you show me his trees.
I don't know if have they shown them yet?
Yeah, not completely. Here, I got a picture of Hellborn tree, being on fire equals power, elemental damage. Bloodlust tree, stack accumulation, kill skills, keep dealing damage, go, go, go. And then action skill. Oh, that's his buzz axe, rampage, melee, smash, range, throw the axe, kill to stay alive. Mania tree, ultimate high risk. Oh, so it goes from low risk to high risk. That's what his trees are.
Yeah.
So mania tree is like taking damage equals good. Survive and you are the beast. And you are a beast. So basically it's like
friendly fire is on when you're using mania. So
yeah, no, you want to get killed. You want to take a lot of damage and almost get killed with this guy, basically.
Yeah.
So you can deal like a shit ton of damage. He looks cool. He's just got, like, this gas mask on. He's, like, shirtless with some armbands, and he's got this, like, homemade cleaver.
Yep.
Homemade chainsaw cleaver thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting now. I mean, you're playing as a bandit psycho. Like, you are what you're killing.
That would be fun. I don't care. That's awesome. I think he's cool. I'll play him. I'll try him out.
Mm-hmm.
When's it supposed to come out? In May. It's available sometime in May.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Let's see. What else we got on my topic list? New Assassin's 4 gameplay trailer.
Oh, okay, so we could talk about that. I mean, it was a very short, you know, trailer.
Yeah.
It's one that came out like 2 weeks ago, I think, right?
It's been a bit.
Yeah, it's been out for a little bit. And we didn't see too much, but you know, we saw enough. It has the good old Assassin's Creed gameplay, you know, running across walls, talking to people, stabbing people that you just talked to. I think what's really cool, though, in this game that I'm really excited about is just dual wielding. Like, it's gonna be boss.
Yeah. Well, they kind of had...
Yeah, but there was some dual wielding in Assassin's Creed 3, but, I mean, come on, man. That was like, he had a sword and a dagger, or, you know, like, hatchet and dagger, but
yeah.
This is like two swords, like, real dual wielding man style. You know, I'm a huge fan of dual wielding. That's like...
That's your thing, yeah.
I love dual wielding. Way to do it. It's just twice as efficient. Like, why would it? Anyway? Beyond my fetish for ambidexterity, I also thought, you know, the whole like pirate thing where you have like four pistols strapped to you and then you just go through all of them.
Yeah,
pretty cool. And it was
sort of at that point in time. It's only like one reloading in time, so
yeah,
exactly. You reload every shot.
Well, let me just say, though, that got ridiculous in Assassin's Creed 3, because you could, like, craft pistols in that game, you know,
yeah,
and craft braces, eventually you get like two gun holsters, and then you put like two double barrel pistols mm-hmm. in there, right? So you get four shots, and at that point, when I had four shots in that game, it was basically like any fight I got into just ended. Like, I was like, bang, 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 bang. All right, everyone's running away from me.
I will say it took me to almost the end of the game to figure out the crafting system, though. In I did not realize how good it was until I got going. Like, it needed a better explanation of it, I thought. Because once I got, like, it was so hard. Combat was so hard because my weapons were so bad because I wasn't crafting, and you couldn't buy more weapons.
Oh, yeah.
And so I figured out the crafting system, like, towards the end of the game, and I got, like, I had all this shit. I had all this materials. I just didn't use them.
Yeah.
So now I started using them, and I was like, oh, shit, and I just got the best weapons. And then the final stuff was way too easy then. It was kind of funny how it went from, like, I was having struggling because I didn't put it on easy difficulty. I had to put it on, like, not normal. I think I put it on hard. Not hard. I don't know. I can't remember what I played, but I remember it went from, like, a difficult combat stuff to I was just breezing through the final boss, or, you know, final chase.
Yeah.
That pissed me off that it wasn't a boss, actually.
It was just, like, a chase through, like, a burning ship.
Yeah.
Spoilers, by the way. Anyway.
Well, they haven't played it yet. That's their fault.
Yeah, right. I think, you know, Ubisoft, I hope they fix this, but Ubisoft has been sort of, like, going towards this mentality where it's, like, we don't have to explain shit to you because you've probably already played the game, or you've already read, like, every single review for our game online, so you know how everything works, right? There were, like, so many points in, like, Assassin's Creed 3 that, like, they just gave it to you, and they're like, yeah, you probably already know what's going on, so we're not going to explain shit. Like, well, in Assassin's Creed 2, when Ezio gets, like, his second blade, like, he gets a second assassin blade. That's, like, a really big thing. He goes through, like, his whole training with Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
In Assassin's Creed 3, you just kind of get your dual blades. And they also, like, flip around into knives or whatever, which they never explain. Like, I had no idea what the hell was going on. There wasn't even a description for that.
Yeah.
You know? And they just sort of gloss over it. They're just like, yep, here you go, buddy. Your one in the left turns into, like, a knife whenever you want to. Cool story, homie.
But what happened to the hook the hook blade? I missed that. Revelations?
They still had the hook blade. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they still had the hook blade. But, you know, like, it's just like, whatever.
It gave it no explanation.
Nope.
Like, I had no idea I had a hook blade.
They didn't train you on that shit. They just kind of, like, put it into the game, you know. They're like, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, like, I feel like he was supposed to get this ultimate assassin's training from his dude. But you got no training. You just went out and did shit as an assassin. Like, you went from child to master assassin. Darkness.
Yes, exactly. And he's sort of, like, Achilles just kind of, like, glosses over the history of, like, the assassin versus assassin.
Yeah!
Like, he's like, all right, listen to me right now.
I wonder how that got to this point.
You know, right? I mean, if you're like a newcomer to the series, you have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, but I want to know what happened. That's a ginormous time jump that they had for us.
Yeah.
From the Renaissance to American. Isn't that a pretty big time jump?
Yeah, it was to like. American, it was like 300 years or something.
Yeah. So, what happened in that time frame? Like, I need to know history-wise with the Assassins and Templars. Maybe there was stuff I just didn't read in the game. Like,
yeah.
But I thought they would make some pretty, you know, big storyline. Like, oh, this was a sweet assassin, by the way, in this time frame. But I guess they would, because is 4 come after 3, or timeline?
4 is the prequel to 3.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's Connor's grandfather is who you're playing as.
Oh, wait, that doesn't make sense, because didn't the other guy come from England?
Haytham?
Yeah, Haytham came from England.
Yes, he came from England, but that's okay, because Edward Kenway is also English, you know, maybe, like, you know, near the end of his life or whatever, he retired to, like, England or something and had Haytham.
Okay.
I don't think it's that implausible. I mean, a pirate, you know, having, like, an English...
Or maybe, kid. It can't be obviously from Connor's mother's side, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I hope this one's better is all I'm saying. Like, Assassin's Creed 3, okay. It was good. It was an Assassin's Creed game. In terms of story, you know, not so great. You know, gotta get back to where we hit. Gotta get back to where we were with Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheers. I mean,
yeah.
Brotherhood was great. Brother, I love playing Batman. Revelations kind of slowed it down for me.
Revelations did. I think it's because they, like, set up, like, the whole, like, story of Ezio so well in Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood, and they left it on such a huge cliffhanger. Like, you had to fight the Borgias.
Yeah.
It was, like, a continuation of you, of Ezio's struggle with the Pope's family. That was, like, huge.
Yeah.
And then the third game is like, okay, we're in Constantinople. All right, cool story.
Yeah, it kind of made no sense other than he was searching for Altair's stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of made sense as him being, like, the master assassin and, you know, the new leader of the assassins that he had to go figure out their history. But I guess, I don't know. It wasn't as intriguing to me as the other ones.
Mm-hmm. But I am really excited for the Caribbean adventure. Seeing some of the, like, cool stuff in the trailer, you know, like Blackbeard, like, actually setting, like, his hair on fire. He's, like, putting on his hat and stuff. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't hair burn a lot faster than that, though?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the thing about Blackbeard is the whole story is that he was actually, like, kind of, like, a nice guy. But he just looked, like, really fearsome and ugly all the time. And, like, he would, like, supposedly set his hair on fire to, like, scare the piss out of, like, everyone he, like, fought.
Yeah.
Like, when he attacked, like, their ships or whatever. And that just, like, scared everyone. You know, whether or not it was true, it was probably just a legend. But, you know, that's just sort of what.
Well, I heard we were in South Carolina, and Blackbeard, he came into Charleston, and all he wanted was medical supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And no one was killed or anything like that, and he got his medical supplies and left.
Mm-hmm.
He had hostages, obviously, but he gave them back after he got his medical supplies. It's like, really? Right. That's your pirate story? Like, why didn't he just come into Charleston and kick the fucking ass for those medical supplies?
Right.
You're a damn legendary pirate. What are you fucking thinking?
Yeah. I'm pretty interested to see, like, all the pirate lore they put into the game.
Yeah.
But there's quite a lot of pirate lore around the Golden Age of Piracy.
So I do want to play, like, a pirate game where you, like, actually, like, I mean, Assassin's Creed is great, but you're going to play as this character you really have no control over storyline-wise. Mm-hmm. I'd love to play a pirate game that you have complete control over storyline-wise, like RPG, like you pick choices and stuff like that, and you get to customize this pirate. I'm sure it's out there, but I want, like, a really, like, high-budget
game. I don't know if it actually is out there.
There's got to be a pirate game.
Immersive RPG experience for pirates. Yeah.
Maybe ship combat is just way too hard.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be it, you know.
Pirate. I'm just going to type pirate into...
I mean, there's like pirate RPGs where you have like your ship and stuff, but it's not like Mass Effect pirate, you know, which is what you're like...
That's what I'm wanting.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing like that. No.
Mass Effect meets pirate.
Yeah, just search Mass Effect plus pirate.
Mass Effect plus pirate equals awesome.
That would be crazy.
Yep.
No! Awesome. Even better than normal pirate, I want to be a Mass Effect space pirate.
Oh.
Nice.
Next Mass Effect game, they're going to copy Assassin's Creed and be like, yeah, we should go with pirate, except we're going to be space pirate, and we're going to kick the shit out of Assassin's Creed pirate.
Right. That would be pretty cool, though, actually customizing your own ship and stuff.
Yeah, and like, no, like, literally, like, ramming into other ships so you can take them over.
Oh, God, in space.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have, like, your own custom crew members, you know, like, just get a bunch of Krogans. Just shoot the Krogans at them.
Oh, no, and this is, like, before humans came along. I would not mind that.
Yeah.
Or after the whole Mass Effect... I don't know what they're going to do after Matt. All the
bunch of Solarian space pirates.
I'd be
we have no
space pirate. Fuck that.
We have no morals. We have no ethics.
Yeah. The problem is if they do any kind of prequel, like, you'd be and say it doesn't have, like, story that has happened in the Mass Effect game, they go, oh, well, where was that lore in the Mass Effect series?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So they're like, oh, there was this grand space pirate. Why did we never hear of him?
Yeah. Truth.
I'm gonna go Mass Effect Space Pirate. Maybe there was, or maybe it's like someone missing over. Mass Effect Space Pirate. There is Space Pirate Outposts. What? We are not the only one. Social BioWare, so it's a BioWare form. And they're going, someone working for Aria, and you can make a choice to be good and bad. That'd be cool.
Yep, nice. That's kind of what I thought. Like, the closest thing to, like, a famous space pirate in Mass Effect is Aria.
Oh, yeah, it would be, like, day-to-day survival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, who they don't need to do a Saving the Galaxy story. I think that would be boring, now that we've already saved the galaxy in three games.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly. Three times, yeah.
So I think just a, like, a survival or, like, you know, getting rich or dying famous, you know, getting rich and famous and die trying type of thing, and you get to, like, get these crew members and stuff and making decisions like normal, and but they should have more risk to it, like, mm-hmm. on the crew members dying.
Yeah.
If you choose the wrong thing, you're
yeah.
fucked.
it really is pretty easy to keep all your crew members alive. Like, if you're just a general good guy, you're going to get your crew members through the game. If you're an asshole, they're probably going to die. That's what happens. But I think, like, as a space pirate, it needs to be a little bit more riskier than that, because it's probably not going to be, like, good and evil here. It's not going to be Paragon and Renegade. You're probably going to be Renegade no matter what, to a degree. You know, you're not going to be like, oh, I'm just doing this for the greater good. I mean, I guess you could. Robin Hood, space pirate type of thing? Maybe. Mm-hmm. I guess I could see that.
Just towing the line, yeah.
Yeah, but there's always going to be more losses in
I hope there's that kind of choice in Assassin's Creed 4, let me just say. You know? Like, you could either be, like, jerk-off evil pirate, or, like, you know,
a
better, nicer pirate.
I don't think they're going to do that, because Assassin's Creed 4, like, all the Assassin's Creeds have been pretty linear.
Yeah,
you can't
that's true.
Really
it's always been, like, you've been always taking the side of, like, the assassins, yeah.
Yeah, you never... Like, it'd be cool to see an Assassin's Creed game that was maybe didn't take place in the Abstergo, so that you would be able to have, like, you could play for the Templars.
A Templar or a, you know.
Yeah, yeah, so that you could, you know, kind of pick how you played. But.
I really, okay, Ubisoft, if you're out there and listening to me right now, just do this for me, okay? Just give us, like, a really evil villain, okay? And then, like, a really likable main character. That's all we need. I don't care about the whole, like, my character's father is a Templar, and I may or may not be helping, you know, George Washington. I don't care about history. I don't care about history, okay? Just give me whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. Don't give me a bitchy hero, either.
Right, definitely not.
God, I felt like he had mood swings all the way through.
Yeah, I really couldn't. I mean, I couldn't relate to
him. I couldn't relate to him at all.
I couldn't relate to Connor very much at all.
Ezio was just too awesome of a hero. And I feel like Altair never got his chance.
Yeah, it was just like one and done.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everyone loves Altair. They're like, oh, he's the ultimate badass. But you can't connect to Altair because there just wasn't that many games with him. And there wasn't, like, his personality wasn't fleshed out in his history. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like there was a lot of room for you to, like, impose your own personality on Altair, because he's really quiet throughout the game.
Yeah. He was different than the other two assassins. Well, Ezio was like the charismatic, like, I'm the ladies' man, he's the every type of man.
Yeah, and Connor is like the meditative, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
The meditative, and then when he opens his mouth.
But he sort of just got, like, stapled to, you know, the revolution and stuff.
Yeah. You know? And I like how they're like, oh, you won't be working with just the Revolution. You'll be working with the British sometimes, too. I think there was only, like, one mission you helped the British out.
Yeah.
You were pretty much with that Revolution the whole time. They're like, yeah, you're on their side. You're not going to be on the American side the whole time. Yes, you are. You are, yeah.
You're killing, like, you know. Yeah, true.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I mean, it really all depends on how this next guy is, and if we can go with him, or if we just don't want to do it. Like, we always want to deal with him.
Yeah.
True.
All right, move on to another game series. It's a series I don't play, but I guess there's Batman Arkham Origins.
Oh, yes. Actually, let's talk about that.
I don't know too much about it, just because I haven't played any of the Batman Arkhams.
Batman Arkham Origins is sort of like a prequel to the series, the series being Arkham Asylum and then Arkham City.
Yeah.
Both highly acclaimed. Really great games. You've never played them, really?
I've always wanted to, but no.
You really should. They're pretty sweet, I have to admit. I actually just got done playing Arkham City, like, a month ago or something like that. I actually have, like, the Let's Play for it somewhere.
Oh,
Not published, of course. I did everything. But, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so Arkham Origins is, it takes place a year before Arkham Asylum, maybe, or Arkham City. But it takes place on, like, it takes place on New Year's Eve. Okay.
Yeah.
And Batman's just doing his Batman thing, and he's not really, like, it's sort of, like, really early in his career, like, right when he became Batman. And Black Mask, a.k.a. Roman Sionis, who sort of showed up in Arkham City a little bit, but you never actually saw him.
Yeah.
He actually, like, puts out, like, this huge hit contract on Batman. And it's, like, assassins from, like, all over the world in, like, the DC universe, like, come to kill Batman.
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And Batman is like, what the fuck? Why does Black Mask want me dead? You know, I mean, true, I am, like, this crime fighter and stuff, but even the police want me dead at this point, so I gotta figure out what the hell's going on and, you know, prove that I am, like, an asset to the people of Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
It
says the assassin Deathstroke will be a foe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that is.
I think he... I don't know who he is either, but, you know, he's sort of, like, Black Mask as well, I think. Sort of, like, one of those... not as prominent characters as, like, Bane or, like, a Joker, you know, but still there in Batman.
An anti-hero, okay.
That's interesting.
He's a mercenary assassin who appeared in Teen Titans?
Deathstroke.
I don't know. I don't know who Deathstroke is. Who is this guy?
Oh, it's Slade, I guess, isn't it? Yeah, Slade Wilson.
Who's oh?
Yeah, like you saw the cartoon, right?
No.
Like Slade is like the main bad guy in the Teen Titans cartoon, actually.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Deathstroke, I guess. Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, his
Shoot.
Mask looks a lot different than in the Teen Titans show.
Yeah. Huh. That's cool.
For some reason, I always thought the guy behind the mask in the Teen Titans show was like. Robin's father.
Mm, yeah.
I thought we'd come to hear that, but it wasn't. Does Slade Wilson have a son?
Yeah, apparently. Did you wiki it?
I don't know. No.
Okay, I'm reading the Wikipedia page right now, and I'm learning all sorts of knowledge is happening. But yeah, anyways, that's pretty cool, you know, they're bringing in, like, more DC lore and stuff. Like, Arkham City was really cool, because they added in, it's like they keep building on the Batman, like, lore and, like, universe in these games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the best, like, game series I've played that, like, follows a superhero, you know. I mean, it's not Superman 64, thank God. It's actually, like, you should really play it sometime. It's really
cool. I always planned on it, but I don't know. It'd be like, I need to get that game and catch up. Because the problem is I don't want to play Arkham City
right.
without playing Arkham Asylum.
Arkham Asylum, yeah.
So mm-hmm. it was like, I about got Arkham City, but I was like, I haven't played Arkham Asylum yet. I'll wait. I need to get Arkham Asylum, and I just never got Arkham Asylum.
Because their stories are sort of intertwined. But hey, now you can just play, Arkham Origins.
I could, because it's not going to matter.
Yeah, and then play Asylum, and then play City, I guess.
Yeah, play the prequel first. I just hope it doesn't confuse me.
I should be fine.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get to some reviews, I guess. I forgot that there was, like, games we played.
Yep.
Because there's Bioshock Infinite, and we played Defiance.
Mm-hmm.
So when do we want to talk about first? I think that's the only two I've played since the last podcast.
I also played Revengeance, finally.
What's Revengeance?
Metal Gear Rising.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and talk about that.
Did I talk about that last time, though? No.
No, okay. You didn't.
Okay. So I finally tore open the copy of Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. I was sitting around my couch, which wasn't mine, but, you know, it was there. So, and it is not a Metal Gear Solid game. Let's get that straight. All right, this is Metal Gear Rising. It's about Raiden. And more than that, it's not about stealth. It's about hack and slash. All right, it's made by the same people who who made Bayonetta, Platinum Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are good at what they do. You know, before they were Platinum Studios, they worked for Capcom as Clover Studios, and they made Okami, and they also made God Hand, which was this crazy awesome beat-em-up, one of my favorite games of all time. And Metal Gear Rising has all of the qualities that Platinum Studios likes to put in their hack-and-slash beat-em-up games, a.k.a. it's crazy, it's over-the-top, and when you're done with it, you're just like, wow, I can't believe I just fucking, whoa, bye-bye. So the whole premise is you play as Raiden, who is a cyborg ninja, and you have a katana that absorbs electrolytes in other people's bodies, and you're primarily fighting cyborgs and other robots. So you're fighting like the Moo Cow Metal Gears from previous games, like this cyborg terrorist group. I think they were called Desperado or something. Yeah, I think they were called Desperado, and Desperado is planning on like doing some crazy things with like kids and harvesting their organs to make new cyborg warriors who only feel fear and don't feel like remorse or pain or anything. And it's a pretty big deal. It's sort of like focusing on like the child soldier problem that's happening in like Africa and stuff. And Raiden himself was a child soldier. In Liberia, he fought for like, you know, basically he was known as like Jack the Ripper when he was like 8 years old because he was like vicious and crazy. And as you play the game, you basically spend all of the game running around really quickly, finding people to kill, and then slicing them apart and dissecting them with your high-frequency katana blade. And there's, like, a mode that you go into when you're finishing off your enemies to, like, slice them in half and rip out their spinal cord to absorb their health and energy for your own use. And this happens quite a lot. Like, in fact, the game isn't really that difficult because every time you get into like a bad situation, you can just go into like this slicing mode and slice the nearest person open and absorb their spine for full health and
wow.
energy. And you do it in like this really badass way. Like you flip over and like grab their spine and like explode it in your hand. You're like, tasty, you know, like Mortal Kombat. And the boss battles are, like, really over the top. Like, Kojima, it has the Kojima production stamp on it, and it really comes out in, like, the characterization in the bosses. And one really cool thing is they brought back, like, codec conversations. So at any time, you could hit select and talk to, like, six people, basically, who are, like, Raiden's, like, handlers, like, over the radio, and you can talk to them about the situation. So people you can talk to is, like, your Russian boss, this crazy East German scientist who basically made you and apparently can, like, size up women's breast sizes through your, like, retinal scanner or whatever. And you're also, like, Robot Wolf that follows you around and scouts for you. It's kind of badass.
Interesting.
And the way the game ends is, well, it's pretty crazy. It's not what I expected. But it has one of the most epic boss fights I've ever played. And also one of the most epic boss fights I never saw coming. So it is pretty cool. And there's a lot of, like, really, like, the whole game is about, like, Raiden being, like, this samurai ninja warrior, basically. So there's a lot of, like, samurai showdown moments in the game, which is really cool. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good hack and slash him. I don't think I would pay $60 for it, to be honest. I mean, it's probably just a rental. I beat it in 2 days, you know? It was about 8 hours of gameplay, so yeah.
You don't plan on playing it again?
No, probably not. I think there actually is some DLC where you get to play as one of the bosses.
What game doesn't have DLC, though?
Yeah, right. So yeah, I don't think there is too much.
So it sounds like it's a huge, huge deviation from any other Metal Gear game.
Yeah, you can't really consider it Metal Gear Solid at all. Like, at one point, Raiden mentions Snake, like he's like, oh yeah, Snake had some trouble with those guys in Iraq.
Are they the same? Are they the? Are they like on the same side? Because I've never played the Metal Gear franchise, so.
So Snake and Raiden are on the same side. They're both fighting against the Metal Gears, but they don't really work on the same team. But they are like allies. Like they've helped each other out in the past.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Snake never shows up in this game. There are a lot of references. Like you can get a cardboard box and like sit in it, and Raiden will be like, "Yeah, Snake did this all the time." And then, like, your weapons guy will be like, dude, what are you doing? It's just a box. What's wrong with you? you know, just funny stuff like that. I think Johnny Sasaki shows up at one point.
Because isn't the solid game, Metal Gear Solid games, usually kind of serious? And this one sounds like it was completely, like, over-the-top hilarious type of stuff. I mean, obviously gory, but...
Yeah. I mean, there's a point where you basically just, like, cut Metal Gear Rex in, like, three pieces with your katana. And in the Metal Gear Solid games, you would spend like a good hour shooting Metal Gear Rex with like a bazooka to like dent it. You're like running up walls, like cutting helicopters in half, and like stabbing.
Sounds like Bayonetta.
Yeah, it is like that. Yeah, exactly. But it is a Metal Gear game. I'll say that much because it has all the humor of a Metal Gear game.
Yeah,
it has like the sort of like political and, like, activist climate of a Metal Gear game. You know, they're talking about, like, terrorism and, you know, fighting the whole, like, child soldier problem. But it doesn't have Snake in it and it doesn't have Stealth in it. So, there you go.
Yeah. Let's see. We played Bioshock Infinite and holy shit, amazing.
All I've heard about that game is, like, it's like, I don't know, liquefied crack. You just can't get enough of it.
When I sat down on a Saturday to beat it, I literally never felt like I wanted to stop playing that game. Like, the only reason I haven't picked it up since is because, A, I don't feel like killing myself with a harder mode. Yeah. And it's just like I have other games I know I need to play, so I need to not touch it.
Okay.
But, I mean, I beat it fast. It was too hard to stay away from. It was, like, some new games I can, like, put down, pick back up, put down. I had to beat that game. Like, I had to know what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, and definitely, like, the way it was going. Like, there's a point in time in the game where you're just like, wait, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. I'm gonna say, like, I don't want to give any kind of spoilers story-wise. Great story, but combat-wise...
Fantastic story.
Yeah, fantastic story. But combat-wise, I'm disappointed. I felt like I had the same boss fights. Like, I guess I didn't play in it. I played normal. I should have played hard. But, like, people who played hard said you'd fight the handyman all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then I only fought him, like, three times. But in normal. But it was, like, the three times it was the same fight, basically. And then the ghost, there's this ghost battle, which is the same battle three times. So they have these two bosses. They just repeat them. So that is the one disappointing thing, is I felt like they just kept repeating their fights and not adding, you know, they had a couple other bosses or whatever in there, but not really, I don't know, other than those two, I didn't really feel like it was a boss fight.
Yeah.
And it's a lovely game, like, you can get over that small fat, like, you can look over that and glance over that real easy, because it's constant action, constant fun, but... It's kind of annoying to see that they're just going to repeat the same thing over and over. Like, they added a little bit different elements with the environment, obviously. Like, one, they opened up a whole lot. Actually, for two of them, they opened them up a whole lot, and then one of them was kind of a little bit more closed in. So, it was interesting, but it could have been better from a standpoint on I would have loved to see some... I mean, I would have loved to see some crazy, crazy bosses that you would have fought. I don't know. There was some good sequences, though. Some good fighting sequences that would maybe be considered boss battles. You're fighting on some airships and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a beautiful game. Just
absolutely
beautiful. Yeah, it was.
I mean, it flowed well, worked well. I mean, even, like, just, like, I mean, the voicing, everything was just fantastic.
Yeah. And we have some videos up on the YouTube page of me playing it. I wish I would have put up my first playthrough, because when you actually step in through the doors, like, you take, like, two steps and you're in Colombia, like, your first view is, I went, wow. Like, that was my reaction. I was just like, holy, I was just taken back. It was amazing. It looked gorgeous. And I like the art style. I like how they, I mean, it wasn't really, you didn't have to play Bioshock 1 or 2 to understand this story at all. I mean, it has similar things, like you start out as a person getting like going into a lighthouse, basically.
Yeah, right.
So a lot, yeah, it's pretty cool in that aspect. And they do show Rapture in it for like 2 seconds of the game.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Just kind of show, like, and then near the end of it, shows Rapture, and you're like, oh, no shit, and then it's done.
Yeah,
like,
yep.
Okay.
It's really cool. It has this whole, I mean, it plays on the whole, especially at the end of the game, really plays on, like, multiverse theories. Like, you know what I mean? Having multiple universes running at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool. Without giving you a lot of story, it kind of, like, it does get a little complicated. Like, thinking of the whole last, I mean, they shove a shit ton of stuff in that last 30 minutes of gameplay. And so, like, you have to sit there after you beat the game and just kind of think on it for a minute. And, like, then you realize all the stuff's coming to you. And you're like, wow. And you're, like, you're playing through the game in your mind again. You're like, man, I see it all now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was what was really cool about it, was it was a game that made you think a little bit. Mm-hmm. Which is always good. It was worth the $60, even though it was a fast beat. I heard the DLC is not going to be story-related, and you'd understand that if you beat the game. But I'm wondering what they're going to do with the DLC then. So, maybe some cool boss fights or something. I don't know.
I get you.
It was good, though.
Yeah, I definitely say, I mean, if you like the Mass Effect, I know Mass Effect, wow. If you liked the Bioshock things, I would definitely say it's one of the best ones they've done so far.
Yeah, by far. And then Defiance. Let's talk about that.
Defiance is fun.
It is, even though the first week, the launch week, was really... like, me and Jake went into this world battle, and I couldn't fire my gun. And all I could do was throw grenades. That was fun, not really. It was
just glitched, or?
It was glitched. It was so glitched. It was lagging out, and people were just... It was bad.
Yeah.
I
was able to do it. I was doing it slow, but I was able to do it.
We've gone back now, though, and done them, and they're fine. Like, they're working out all the kinks with this stuff. And it really is fun. Like, it's so simple, but so much fun. Like, it's especially with friends. Like, I really only suggest playing it with friends, obviously. It's an MMO. You want to play with people.
Mm-hmm.
But, because that's the experience. You know, it's not meant to be a single-player game. So if you're going into that game looking for a single-player experience, don't. Like, don't be dumb.
don't be dumb, okay?
It really is. It's actually challenging solo. Like, it makes you go solo at this one point, and me and Jake were like, why is this not a two-person mission?
Yeah.
It really was tough. Like, it is so much better to go in and have a friend and an ally, like, working together, pulling aggro, and you know, stuff like that, because it is hard. Now, their classes, their race doesn't matter, and class doesn't matter, other than kind of like, for some guns, there's some, like, so, like, say you're an outlaw, and I found an outlaw shotgun that'll work better if you're an outlaw, but you can still use it if you're anybody else. It just works better for you if you're an outlaw. So that's really the stuff. Everyone kind of picks from the same move sets. It's just however you want to build your character.
Okay.
So, like, I built, like, this... I use a lot of sniper, and I've been playing around with some other stuff, like range, and I cloak, and I run around and I crouch. So I'm always, like, this background type of character. And while I do a good amount of damage, I'm really not that good on my own. But Jake goes in there, and he's this, like, full-out turret.
Yeah, it's pretty much like a light machine gun in your hand.
He's just like, everyone look at me!
But it's not bad, though, because, like, the way I have it, I have a really good shield, like, the ship's pretty much strong. So, like, what I've been doing is, I'll go in, I'll try to pull everything to me, and then actually can just hang off, like, as we're going. It's working out well, though.
I mean,
it's
most likely
you're
kind of
pumped.
Yeah.
Is
it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, is that
better? A little bit.
Is that better?
A
little bit.
All right,
1 second.
Oh, there we go. Whatever you did right there.
Okay, all right, is that better?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, like, it hasn't really, like, they haven't been having problems with it since they've been doing this. So I'll just pull everything and the price takes it out to work on the ground. I mean, it seems to be working.
Yeah, it works. We work well together.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to see more people consider doing all this.
I feel like the big boss battles of the world, while they're super epic and fun, they're way easy because it's just so many people all together, like, and there's not a whole lot of difficulty to it. Like, I don't even know if I've died once in it. I've got close to death, but I've never died, so it's really tough to die. So I feel like they need to up the difficulty on those a little bit.
So, well, plus when you actually die, you just, like, there's a button you can pull to extract yourself. You extract yourself there, or you can do it, like, a little ways.
Yeah. Yeah, you can pick up yourself, or, yeah, they have the station. I also feel like items, I don't know, we haven't got too far. We're not really high level or anything, but I really want to see, just, I want to see some, I hope, as going forward, I want to see some, like, item, like, more look customization. And vehicle customization, and they give you a vehicle, like, right out of the gate, which is, it's cool, but it's like, oh, you know, you're not making me explore the world, but I get, then again, I don't have to, like, fight every dude I come up to now, I can just hit them with my vehicle. By the way, that gives you 3 experience every time, which is pretty decent, so, it's fun. I mean, I like, the vehicle mechanics are absolutely outrageous. They are just... And it's fun to do it. It's not frustrating, though. You know, like, sometimes they have some vehicle mechanics in games where it's, like, frustrating. I'm trying to think of it. Like, it kind of reminds me of the Mass Effect,
The rover. Mass Effect 1, the fucking rover.
Without the environment being an asshole, you know?
Right. You get, like, every little bump and you just go flying.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of in this one. I mean, it's kind of like that. Like, I mean, like, there's times that I'll get, like, a little bit of toss for it, and I'll just bump and just straight up. Over.
Yeah.
Very seldom that happens.
And then they have no explanation for how to use this vehicle, because I didn't figure out they had a boost button until we were, like, playing for a few hours with these characters. Like,
you saw some
boost. Yeah, I saw someone use boost, and I was like, how the hell did they? And I just hit A, and I was like, oh shit! Boost, baby.
Slowly. I guess.
But it's worth it so far.
Yeah. I mean, I'd definitely suggest,
I
mean, if you want to do that, it's
like, okay. I heard it's a good console MMO. A lot of people saying the computer version of it is compared to a lot of computer MMOs that are out there, there's better computer MMOs, obviously. Like, it's not going to be a subscription game. There's really not too much to pay-to-play stuff. Like, there is, but it's not... I would consider none of it really worth buying, to be honest. I'm sure people will, but... I'd rather spend my money on stuff like Guild Wars 2 and stuff like that.
I mean, and really, like, I like looking at it a little bit. I mean, like, the money stuff is just, like, you get a lot of good
ability. Yeah. Defiance is...
And some, like, skin packs.
Yeah. Defiance, though, is definitely a work in progress. Like, it's definitely going to be a game that, like, a year from now is going to be better than it is right now. But that's kind of disappointing because I doubt I'll be playing in a year from now because there'll be a new console out by then and I'll be playing a new console. So it's like, too bad this game didn't come out 2 years ago, you know, something like that. So it'd be a cool MMO to keep lasting. But now that it's only on the current gen consoles, it's like, what are you going to do for me when the next console comes out? And I want to keep playing this game. I mean, yeah, I can boot up my old Xbox. But really, like, I'm probably going to find something with better graphics, because that is the one downside with Defiance is, actually, though, this latest patch definitely fixed it a little bit, but the graphics at first were horrible. Now they're starting to get better, because we were playing it last night, and it was a little bit better.
Yeah.
So,
hopefully. I enjoy it. I don't know if you're looking for something just to fuck around with.
It's definitely worth it looking for it used, maybe, even. You know, if no one wants to spend $60 because they're not going to play it for very long, it's fun to get it maybe used. Don't be looking for... It's an MMO, and it has voiceover, but I wouldn't say it has a great, amazing story to it. It's not compelling of any point.
Okay.
It's lacking, but in that department. Fun with friends. Another fun with friend game. There's millions of them out there. Get your friends and... play whatever game the fuck you want to. That is the memo of this podcast.
Anything can be fun if you have friends.
It is true. Like, the shittiest game can be fun as long as you have some friends around to make fun of it and laugh at it together.
Yes.
You know, get frustrated together.
This is very true. This is very true.
I don't know what the dog wants. Nox Potty? I don't know. I think he has to go outside, mostly. Let's see. I guess let's get to the end of the stuff of Situation of the Week and stuff. Yeah?
Yeah, okay, sure.
Oh, I have a code for 1999 mode for those of you that don't have it. It is up, up, down, down, left, right, BA. That's the Xbox code, obviously, so I don't know the PlayStation code. Google it. And the computer code is different, too, so.
Okay. Google that, too.
Google that.
With your computer.
With your computer. That's the Xbox one, though. I wrote it down. That was nice enough. So, yeah, Situation of the Week. Jake, you had it?
Okay, so, kind of going off with slightly defiance and some other stuff. If our world was just out of nowhere, like, I mean, it's a normal day, we're not expecting all this American made by aliens, and they're looking very hostile.
Hang on, get closer to your mic or something.
Sorry. Our world is just, like, no warning, nothing. All of a sudden, we're just invaded by, an alien warship just fucking appears in our sky. And they come down, and they just start shooting the place up. What is your first instinct?
Cry. Life's over, man. Life as we know it is done. If they already come shooting up, we know we're fucked. They've got the advantage of surprise attack and probably better technology than we do. Yep. Let's just ask if we can be slaves, because that's and then rise up later in generations. That's let's enslave our race. We probably.
That is my exact reaction. If alien warship came down, I would like run out and be like, take me, just take, shoot me
on your side.
Do whatever you want. I just don't need to write my 10-page paper anymore, please. Please just do whatever. I don't care.
Please don't kill me, or kill me if it's gonna be really bad enslaving. Just take your choice.
If you don't kill me, at least make me into a robot, please.
I'd say, oh, let's fight back, but really, like, are we gonna win? We gotta find a weakness first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've seen this from the point. We need a hero like Shepard.
We need Shepard.
That's the only way we're gonna win, and I don't think I'm that hero. I mean, I'm just gonna be in all honest here.
Alright, there you go. Situation of the week. Now we know.
I wouldn't know until I was really in that situation, but thinking of that situation, yeah. Alright, let's go FNA moment of the week then. That fucking A moment.
Okay, I got one.
I'll do mine. It's frustrating. So since last podcast, I got a graphics card. Me being an idiot. I didn't open up my computer and look at the motherboard. It's unupgradable. I spent $80 for a graphics card, and I can't put it onto my motherboard. So, I'm an idiot, and now I have to buy a new motherboard and sound card and somehow get the processor off and figure out if all of this meshes well together with another motherboard. And, you know, all this frustrating shit, because when I first read up for this computer, they said, oh yeah, all you have to do is upgrade the graphics card, good computer. So I was like, yeah, alright, I'll upgrade the graphics card, sweet. Never thought of opening up my computer to look inside. Like, that just for some reason never crossed my mind. I just figured, oh, it's gonna have... what are they called? PCI slots?
Yeah.
I was like, I was gonna have a PCI slot. It's gonna have one. You know, it has to have one. What motherboard doesn't have a PCI slot? Or at least I can unplug its old graphics card and plug in the new one. You know? And it wouldn't be as frustrating if I grabbed, like, the wrong, you know what I mean? I needed to grab something with a different PCI slot hookup, or, you know, a 64 one to a 32 or whatever. If I needed to get something like that. But no, it has nothing. No PCI slots at all on this thing except for where the two slots of RAM, or the RAM isn't a PCI slot. So yeah, but it's, you know, the only slots of removable stuff is RAM.
Mm-hmm.
And like the processor and the cooling system and stuff like that. And the hard drive, obviously, I can take off and remove and stuff. But still, that's my fucking A moment. Open up my desktop to upgrade. I'm like, yeah, my graphics card is in. Let's upgrade. Oh, what the fuck? Fucking A.
Yeah, fucking A, damn.
Alright, What's your guide?
Alright, so 3 days ago, 4 days ago, we had this, well, I wouldn't call it a massive storm, we had a pretty big storm. It was all raining, you know, like nothing, and okay, I was gonna watch TV, and then I hear like this cat, like this hard sound hit the roof. I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's just like at first it's not like a little bit of thunder, it's like kind of rumbling, kind of roaring. I was like, alright, whatever, it's thunder. And then it increases in noise. Like, I mean, it's like it starts coming down more and more. And I was like, dude, this area is really fucking raining out there. Mm-hmm. So I get up on a lookout, and of course, it's hailing. So I was just like, okay, well, fuck, right now it's hailing. I mean, it's only like little pea marble rain, so whatever, it'll be okay. Like, archery okay and everything. No, of course, they turned into golf size hail. Like, no kidding, they were the size of golf balls. as the gentleman on the radio station put out, these things are the size of testicles.
Okay.
And we're not kidding, these things were massively huge. So, of course, it starts coming down harder, and they're getting bigger as they're coming down. So, I mean, for a good probably 2 to 3 minutes, I mean, we're just getting hail-sized golf balls just hitting everything possible.
Oh.
So probably about after 2 to 3 minutes, it kind of patters out, and then it goes into the rain, and the rain's done, and everything's all sunshine and punch it. So I walk out there, and I don't see any, like, major damage to my car, kind of, like, maybe cracked, like, a little plastic thing on my sun, like, covering my sunroof, so something big. 2 days later, I come out to my car, and I actually did a good look at it. There are 2 massive cracks in my windshield, my windshield, and, there are dents covering my hood, my trunk, and the top of my car.
Oh.
To replace my windshield is a $280-some-odd that I have to pay to get that damn thing fixed. Right now the cracks are kind of off to the side, and they're like, they're somewhat smaller, so I'm okay for now. But at some point in time, I need to get that fixed before they grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not happy. So first of all, fucking the moment of the week was, I have 2 massive cracks in my windshield, and $200-something
to replace it. Oh. Not have
dents all over my car. Yeah, that sucks,
dude.
The worst thing was that 2 rows down from me, they didn't get anything. Like, half a mile down the road. Like, either way, they did not get the hail. It was only in this, like, Google-specific area.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
So, yeah, of course, it's in this, like, little area that I'm saying, are you fucking kidding me? Seriously? Like, right here?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my fucking emo moment of the week.
Wow, I feel bad now, because my fucking emo moment has no monetary loss at all in comparison to you guys, you know?
Yeah.
That sucks. I guess I forgot to mention, but I've been playing Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on the 3DS. And I've been playing it with Dylan, and we were doing this one mission where you hunt a Rathian, which is like the female version of the Rathalos. This giant green dragon that shoots fire and has like poison claws, right? The fire's not so bad. You can dodge it. It's okay. Poison claws kind of suck. Because if you get hit by poison, I mean, it's a lot of damage, and then you're fucking poisoned. You need to drink some antidotes, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm fighting this Rathian, and I have, like, 6 antidotes on me. I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. I can fight this Rathian. This will be fine. And in Monster Hunter, there's this race of, like, cats. Basically,
tiny
cat dwarf people, kind of, that, okay, honestly, they're just house cats that walk on legs. They're really fucking cute, you know, all the time. They're all like, meow, meow. But anyways,
they're assholes.
Yes, there are 2 kinds of cats. There are the white ones, who are really nice, and just sort of friendly hermits who throw bombs at your enemies. And then there are the black ones, who, okay, I guess this is racist, but they're apparently thieves, alright?
Yeah.
So I'm fighting this Rathian, and this one, like, jumps at me in the back and, like, slaps me in the back of the head, you know, right when I'm poisoned. And I take a huge amount of damage, because the way damage in the game works is, it's sort of like in Street Fighter, where when you get hit, you take a certain amount of damage, and then you have, like, this red bar that eventually heals over, right? And when you're poisoned, basically your entire health bar really quickly becomes this red bar of... And if you get hit another time, all of that red bar is gone, so you actually take damage. So I take a shit ton of damage, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm poisoned. Oh, God, I need to get an antidote. motherfucker stole all of my antidotes. Bitch. And I'm like fucking chasing him around with like my giant katana sword trying to hit him while the Rathian is attacking me. And it fucking sucked, you know. So that was my fucking A moment of the week. Pretty mild in comparison to, you know, getting my windshield shattered or a graphics card not working, you know.
Yeah, but still, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Just lightened ours up. All right.
Cats are fucking cute until they ruin your day.
Yeah, cats are like steal your antidotes.
Cool.
All right. Well, I think that's it for us, right? Yeah?
That's it. Sounds like everything.
Yeah. Well, enjoy that motherfucking outro.